and welcome. This is Shirley Gutkowski, and you are listening to Crosslink Radio, the radio show that talks about health from the eye teeth on down. My name is Shirley Gutkowski. I'm a dental hygienist and a specialist in orofacial myofunctional therapy. So I have a very different approach to, it's not my training so much as my attitude. I have a different approach to just about everything. Sometimes I drive my own self crazy. It seems as though if it's smooth going, I am so not happy. So whatever, I just keep making changes and looking for better ways to do things. The status quo is not where I'm at, except apparently for, some things like my car. It's kind of old, but it works. It's fine. Goes where it has to go. I just really like to push this prevention envelope, and things are finally coming to a place where I think that prevention can really start to make a real difference. The old style of prevention for health was walk or run, eat some vegetables. I understand the movement piece, but all of that just really was not quite working for me. It shouldn't be that hard. I was talking to another friend the other day about weight loss, and she's like, Shirley, it shouldn't be this hard. People have not had weight problems for the most of the time the planet's been spinning and the time that the people have been here. So it shouldn't be that hard. Something else is different. So I agree with that, and I'm always looking for another angle because most of the normal angles just take up too much time. Most of the weight loss diets focus on managing almost every morsel, and the entire day you're either creating the food you're going to eat or eating the food that you're going to eat or cleaning up the food that you just ate. So that part, even in today's society, has been turning into this crazy nightmare of prevention. So because of that is why I think people have really glommed onto this idea of juicing. I did not write down any of this in my notes of things I wanted to talk about today. So I hope you can follow along with my little thought trains here. But this idea of juicing is really, right? It's real appealing, especially if you're thinking that maybe you should eat a big salad twice a day. And in order to have a big salad twice a day, you have lettuce, you have tomatoes, you have peppers, unless you are on the AIP part of the paleo diet, or just an autoimmune diet, or just an anti-inflammatory diet. And then you won't have the tomatoes and you won't have the peppers, but you'll have mushrooms, you'll have, you won't have onions, you will have a bunch of other fruits and vegetables in your salad. Let's go there. And that takes a long time to make. It takes a long time to get all those pieces from the store. It takes a long time to put the whole thing together. And I'm here to tell you that as much as I am in love with chewing and I want to make sure that everybody gets enough chewing, you could spend an hour just chewing, grazing on that salad. I don't think people were intended to spend an entire, unless that's their our only existence, to eat like that. So, I don't know, maybe I'm just being too forgiving for the way that things could be. So anyway, people are now putting that into a big blender, blending the living daylights out of it or extracting all the juice from it. And then they can be done and they could be walking or talking or they could be in their car and they can still get all their vegetables. And if you saw me, you would see me making air quotes. So they think that they're getting all of these benefits, but they're missing the whole mechanics and the whole cascade of hormones and everything else that goes along with chewing. Enzyme production, stomach motility, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on of things that happen when you chew. So I don't even know why I started to go on this train, but that part of the prevention thing is that's an example of why that kind of prevention isn't working. So I understand the vegetables. I understand blah, blah, blah. I get a kind of a handle on that. And now that I'm working on this oral health cookbook, I am getting another little insight every day or two on how this whole thing operates together. My co-author, June Russo, and I are getting along really well as we're building our first draft to this manuscript. But I'm noticing, I don't know, I haven't talked to her, so I don't know what she's noticing of mine, but this hatred for sugar is coming through. And you guys know that you can't just hate sugar. We need to have sweet, and you can't avoid all dried fruits because they are extremely healthful. Not only do they have a high level of sugar, it's the right kind of sugar. It offers a level of satiety that you won't get just from eating that much sugar on a spoon. It has the fiber. It has the plant phytols. It has everything you need, including quick sugar clearance times from the teeth and biofilm busting capabilities. So don't let your diet gurus tell you you can't eat dried fruits. That is the perfect after meal sweet. If you're one of those people, and I am getting to be, well, maybe for the last 3 or 5 years, I've just been like, about dessert all of a sudden. I just want a bite of something sweet. It doesn't have to be a bite. In the winter, I can usually get away with tea with a teaspoon of xylitol in it, for instance. Just to have something a little sweet to finish off the meal. I don't know where that comes from. But a piece of dried fruit like a date or a fig is perfect. Not only does it do all the things that I already mentioned, but a dried fruit like that will also increase the pH of the mouth. The bacteria are squirting out all these acids because they just had a meal that you ate. But because of the way that the components of the fruit are made, it improves and provides alkaline to the entire system. So you're just running on all kinds of really awesome benefits from having some dried fruit at the end of a meal. Obviously, there are ways of doctoring these dried fruits that are not healthful. For instance, dried cranberries are often coated with oil. And is it a good oil? Usually not. And then they're packed on with sugar. And then they're also added sugar. And then they're also having some other components with them. So there you have it. My 2 cents on dried fruit. And the healthfulness of dried fruit and, and settling down into prevention and not going, hog wild nuts over things and assuming things and not asking things are really important things to think about when you get into a groove. Not that you want to live the life that I'm leading, which means that you're always on the edge and never happy and looking for the next big thing, but it's something that needs to be addressed anyway, I think. So today, though, I've been spending a lot of time working on a couple things. I went and got my hair cut, and the World Day of Oral Facial Myofunctional Science, that's coming up next week on Wednesday the 17th. And I'm re-listening to the interviews, and I'm compiling them, and I'm just real excited again about all the science that's going into all of these things. I really think, I was just talking to a friend of mine, and I said, sometimes I feel like I'm talking like I'm in a cult or something because there's just so massive and it's so exciting and there's so many things that happen with it. So I think that this is real crazy. So that's what I've been doing today, and listening to Dr. DeWald talking about taping her mouth shut, listening to Dr. Hazelbaker talking about infant and newborn tongue ties and how important it is to get those taken care of right away, and you know, who else was I listening to? Diane Barr, listening to her talking about how children use their mouths and how you transition them from just using their mouth for exploring into solid foods and all of that kind of stuff. It's just really massive. And I hope that everybody takes an opportunity to spend some time with that 2-hour special. It might be a little short of 2 hours. I don't know. Might be a little bit long. Oh, you know how it goes. It's going to be live-ish on... what do you call it? Blog Talk Radio. So take a look over there. blogtalkradio.com/crosslinkradio. And you can listen to it. I will be present during the airing. So if you find that you would like to email me or text me or something along those lines about the show, please feel free to do so. And I will be able to answer those questions live. So that's awesome. And as I was listening to Dr. Hazel Baker's episode or section of the episode, it made me think that maybe people would like to hear what she has in her book. I did finally get her book, Tongue Tie, Morphogenesis, Impact Assessment, and Treatment. And she had a tongue tie, which I didn't know about. And she had that tongue tie released in her 40s. And I think if you've seen me in person, you know that I always refer back to Dr. Hang's video, his interview with a patient who had recently had her tongue released, and how she was just in tears of relief thinking about how her life had been up until those 40 however years for her and what her life is going to be like now. And here I'm reading Dr. Hazel Baker's book, and it's the same thing. It's almost the same story. This is what she writes. I'm reading right from her book, Tongue Tie, Morphogenesis, Impact, Assessment, and Treatment. After a successful therapeutic course that strengthened my tongue muscles, corrected my articulation errors, and retrained my tongue for a proper swallow, I found myself sleeping more deeply, awakening refreshed and less tense. The phrenotomy freed up more than my tongue. It also allowed my entire thoracic and neck areas to stop tensing as compensation for difficult swallowing, breathing, and speaking. The attendant jaw clench also disappeared. So did the tension headaches caused by the persistent clench. I was better able to keep my teeth clean. Suddenly, my dental checkups improved, as did my overall gum health. She goes into a lot of the science of how we got here and why tongue tie seems to be so prevalent now. And I'm really only on page, 18? I was like, what? Artificially fed babies, I'm quoting again, not only those prematurely weaned because of tongue tie, are hospitalized 15 times more than breastfed babies in their first 4 months alone, and 10 times more often for bacterial infections. Artificially fed babies have 2 to 7 times the risk of juvenile diabetes, 3 to 5 times the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, 3 times the risk of inflammatory bowel disease, 6 times the risk for diarrhea, 2 to 5 times the risk for bronchitis and pneumonia, a substantially increased risk of asthma, 3 to 5 times the risk for ear infections, 6 to 8 times for the risk of childhood lymphomas, and on and on. This is not a thing. One of the topics that we kind of brushed up against in my interview with Dr. DeWald was the idea that the science has been focusing on breast milk, not the science of nursing, until, you know, not too long ago. And so there are some really incredible health benefits for people that actually do the nursing that has very little to do with the milk. So I was unaware of that. We were taught that in dental hygiene school. Now that, you know, that little part of my education has been rediscovered, I remember learning about that. I have never, ever had a conversation about that since 1986. I've had breastfeeding specialists on here. Nancy Brohan and I are going to have a nice conversation about this as well, because the breast part and the feeding part, the chiropractic part of breastfeeding, and holding the baby's head on the crook of your arm and what that does to the curvature of the neck and how that all forms, it's unbelievable. And it's crazy making that it's so easy to get a bottle in the hospital after you've had a baby. It's so easy for those nurses to just plug that baby in with a pacifier. And that's just not the right way to go. So these are the kinds of things that we're going to be exploring on the special on February 17th on blogtalkradio.com/crosslinkradio. So once it's aired there, so at 4 o'clock or so, 4:30, give me a chance to go to the bathroom, I will upload it to crosslinkradio.com so that you have better access to it there. So tonight I am going to the Weston Price Foundation meeting here in Monona. So I'm a little bit excited about it, and I'm a little bit nervous about it, because the last time I was at one of their meetings, they were talking about eating a food that most Americans just don't eat, and for good reason. So I'm excited to be exposed to that again, and I'll keep you posted on what that is and what that little mystery means. If you need to know right now, you can email me at Shirley@CrossLinkRadio just to kind of get you off of that that thread a little bit. So that's also been pretty exciting. I plan on talking about my new practice at this meeting. I'm sorry, I still don't have business cards. My son is working really hard, and you know, his Apple crashed. That never happens. So he lost a lot of stuff. You know, you just don't, tomorrow for sure, So this is a good day right now to back up your computer, get yourself an account on Dropbox, get yourself an account on Box.com, and back everything up. So he kind of lost some stuff that he had was getting paid for, as well as stuff that he was doing for free, like my logo. So on Facebook, you can also find it. It's called Primal Air. And you can find that on Facebook. My son, Phil, is my practice manager, and he set up a Facebook page for Primal Air. So go ahead and like that, if you will. He promised that he would... He would manage that website, or that he promised he would manage that Facebook page. So I'm going to continue to do my America's Dental Hygienist page and work with that. One of the other things that I'm doing, apparently I'm just a nutcase. You'd think all this would burn calories, wouldn't you? But no. Let's wrap that back in here. So I just got a galley back from my article on thermography, and sent that back to the editor for re-editing or re-managing. And it just really brings me back around again to this other aspect of clinical dental hygiene and even dentistry, where we don't know where the inflammation is. We can take x-rays, we can look, we can use loops, but we don't know where infection is located. And that's a really important feature that we're not aware of and that we're just not doing anything with. So I'm looking forward to the training that I'll be getting with my friend Rita to do that kind of imaging of the head and neck in anybody who wants to at our facility, at my facility, my rented facility here in Sun Prairie. So that's pretty exciting for me too. So there's just a lot of things going on. I will be speaking in Detroit coming up in March. I think I may have mentioned that in a recent episode. So I hear there are still some seats available. So, you know, it's a couple of weeks out yet, but I think it's worthwhile for you to give it a check. See, you can go to to their website, and let me dig that up real fast. The name of the company is Peak Education and Training. The website is peakce.com, and in the middle of the homepage is a big box that says click here to view our current course offerings, and you can see all the different things that they have available in the Detroit area. I'm speaking in Troy, actually, at the Troy Community Center, and Dr. Peldiak and I are going to be doing our live version of the Sugar Show, and that'll be awesome. We'll do that in the morning. And in the afternoon, I'll be doing my program called The Oral Environmentalist. And we'll be talking about thyroid. We'll be talking about, you know, Lyme disease and how dental hygienists can be better at asking questions for, you know, with their patients so that they don't have a lot to mess around with. My son is, that didn't come out right. So it'll give hygienists more opportunities to talk to their patients about the patient and the patient's health as opposed to everything else that we end up talking about. Patients really want excellent care, and they think that if you're talking about their vacation or your vacation, then there's nothing wrong, when really what's happening is that the clinician may be so wrapped up in vacation talk or car talk or whatever, that they're not getting around to talking about your actual health if you're the patient. And, you know, if you're the dental hygienist, get over that. You need to really pay more attention to your patients. So that's what, not that it's going to be a spanking lesson, but I'm going to give a lot of different options of things to talk about to our patients who are so, so sick. I'm going to, of course, be talking about orofacial myofunctional therapy as a piece to the puzzle. However, that's just part of it. We have other things that are available as well, and they may not be traditional. And that's what I think freaks out a lot of people. So stay tuned for that, or come and join us. I think you'd like it. You can meet my son, Phil. He's going to be attending with me, selling my books, my Purple Guide books. Somebody's going to actually be there and available to talk to you about it. And obviously, I'll be happy to talk to you about it too. But sometimes there's just so many people that you can't talk about it and do the sales all at the same time. So if you are a patient or a person who has what you might think to be an oral facial myofunctional disorder, an OMD, like a tongue thrust, or maybe you're on your third time with braces and it's all collapsing again, or sinuses, or acid reflux, this is what I mean. The list just goes on and on. Please give us a call at Primal Air, and perhaps we can find a solution for you that maybe no one else has conceived of. That's really part of this whole thing here. So I appreciate you listening, and please feel free to send this along to other people who may be interested or find the same interests in things that you do. My name is Shirley Gutkowski. I am a dental hygienist specializing in orofacial myofunctional therapy with a practice in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin called Primal Air LLC, OMT, and breathing retraining. I hope to see you soon. Bye now.